In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus wasn't big on celebrity, as opposed to us who have an entire industry that tracks and reports every movement of celebrities. People who are celebrated for their various levels of achievement, or looks, or family members, or what have you. One of our society's most prominent features is the cult of celebrity. Not the case for Jesus, though. He didn't care to be celebrated. In fact, he actively discouraged it. He told most of the people he healed to keep quiet about the healing. He told most of the people he cast demons out of to keep quiet about the exorcism. He told his own disciples to keep quiet about his identity. When Peter declared Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus ordered them to tell no one. I've heard this may be the only command of Jesus, tell no one about me, that the church has actually managed to keep. But really, why does Jesus so often silence those who would celebrate or celebritize him? Why is Jesus so careful to keep his miracles and his identity hidden? In biblical scholarship, this phenomenon is typically referred to as the messianic secret, and there is no single or super convincing answer for it. We know that the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah who would be a political revolutionary, a king who would come in and free the nation of Israel from Roman oppression. So it is possible that Jesus didn't want to be identified as that Messiah and bring upon himself the wrath of the Roman government before the appointed time. It's also possible that Mark uses the messianic secret as a literary device in his gospel. He wants his readers to focus on the cross rather than the miracles, because Jesus is first and foremost the God who dies for his people. His miracles are secondary, not the focus of his identity. Whatever the reason for the messianic secret, we find Jesus invoking it in our gospel reading today. And we also find him completely flouting it. Let me explain. As you know, we have two stories of healing, with one sandwiched in the middle of the other. The outer story, the bread, if you will, is about Jairus and his daughter. As soon as Jesus gets off the boat from being out on the Sea of Galilee, the crowds began to swarm around him. Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, approaches Jesus and implores him to heal his sick child. Jesus agrees and heads in the direction of Jairus' home. Jesus is interrupted by another incident that leads to healing, the meat of the sandwich, but we'll circle back to that. After that interruption, Jesus continues on his way and only lets three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, come with him. But by this time, Jairus' daughter has died. So when they arrive at his home, people have gathered to mourn. Jesus enters inside, raises the daughter from the dead, and instructs the parents to tell no one. To quote from Mark, he strictly ordered them that no one should know this. No one should know about this miracle. Of course, it would be hard to deny once people saw the girl up and walking about, but this is a classic example of the messianic secret. One can imagine that Jesus at least had time to make his exit without ostentatious acclaim. Now let's return to that other story. A woman in the crowd is desperate in need for healing. She has been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. She has spent all of her financial resources on cures that have not worked. And worst of all, she is ritually unclean, according to Jewish law. This has made her an outcast. She could not take part in any religious observances, nor could she have public contact without defiling those whom she touched. If she was married, she was also forced to be separated from her husband. This unnamed woman, like Jairus, had heard that Jesus was back in their region and set out to find relief through his power. Conditioned, no doubt, by her long-term rejection and isolation, she dared not approach Jesus to ask for a miracle. The best she could hope for was a kind of secret healing. "I need not bother the master," she might have rationalized. "I only need to touch the hem of his garment." And it works. Jesus feels the power go out of him as vividly as she felt the healing take hold. Mark uses the word "immediately" to describe both of their experiences. Now we can imagine this woman wanted to shrink back into the faceless mob. And Jesus could have easily let that happen. He could have easily just kept on walking, kept that healing a secret, right in line with the messianic secret. Instead, he outs her, or he forces her to out herself by asking the question, "Who touched my clothes?" In this way, Jesus prompts her to come forward in fear and trembling, fall down before him, and tell him the whole truth. The whole truth of her painful story. "Daughter, your faith has made you well," he says. "Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Notably, he doesn't instruct her or anyone else to keep quiet about this healing. Both Jairus and this woman had great faith, and both had their prayers for healing answered. Yet Jesus chooses to make one healing public and keep the other one under wraps as best he can. Why is that? Well, here's a thought. I used to sit in the office right beyond that door by the pulpit, so I could hear what went on in our assembly hall upstairs. During the week, prior to COVID, Narcotics Anonymous meetings were held in the assembly hall almost daily around lunchtime, and I hope those can resume sometime this fall. I usually couldn't make out exactly what people were saying, but oftentimes, whoever had the floor would speak with much passion. They got loud and excited. There were probably hand gestures involved. I heard snippets about the person being changed or saved or living a new life. Often that would be followed by applause from the others. I've come to realize that those people are sharing stories of resurrection. They are speaking about their own healing, and the act of sharing is part of that healing process, which encourages everyone else in the room who are likewise trying to stay sober. In Narcotics Anonymous, as well as other 12-step groups, people help one another by sharing their, quote, experience, strength, and hope. That's how the program is designed. People talk about their experience, strength, and hope. Is that not what the woman with the hemorrhage did? Is that not what we're invited to do? Jesus knew that part of her healing would be found in the telling of her story. When he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" it was not a request for information. It was an invitation. An invitation for her to share just how hard her struggle had been. To own her truly courageous act in reaching out for Jesus, and to claim her newfound wholeness and place in the community from which she had effectively been estranged for 12 years. Jesus wasn't interested in bringing attention to himself. He didn't want acclaim or celebrity status. Jesus wanted to celebrate her, her faith, her experience. Perhaps for that reason, he was willing to break his pattern of keeping those miracles quiet. Maybe Jesus is also telling the woman, the townspeople, and us that there is no such thing as a secret healing. In fact, he tells her to go and be healed, implying that healing is bigger and more comprehensive than the physical change she has just experienced. Healing is coming into relationship with Jesus. Healing is coming into relationship with her community. And healing is having the courage to step into the light, to fall at Jesus' feet and tell him the whole truth. Now, I know that not every story of healing must be on public display. Some are too painful, some are too private, and sometimes we're just not ready. But I will say that Narcotics Anonymous is onto something, just like the Me Too movement is onto something. We who would follow Jesus must learn to tell stories of resurrection to one another and to a fearful world that could use some real hope. This world could use some real hope. It's not always comfortable work, but if we, the church, can't do it, then we're better off handing over our keys to the people in our assembly halls who can. That's because of the work of the church at its core is to create and tell those stories of resurrection so that new life is real and we can replace fear with possibility. And as we do these things, speaking from our experience, strength, and hope in Jesus Christ, our faith will make us well. Amen.